Hey guys, I just wanted to jump in here at the beginning of the episode to explain some things. After leaving y'all on the cliffhanger in episode 7, I knew that I couldn't just glide over it and release episode 8 today without dedicating a short episode to these events. Because of that, this bonus episode is formatted differently to show you what happened. Also, because of this, episode 8 will not be released today. I needed to put a short hold on the case to report on this new crime. So we will jump back into the Dorothy case in 2 weeks on April 27th. But until then, here are the events which transpired over the past 2 weeks here in Oz.
This is Agent Cody Morgan, OBI Homicide Division. Ma'am, could you please state your name for the record?
Carmela Bacchus Gatto.
Thank you, Ms. Gatto. Could you also state why you've been brought here today?
Murder.
Whose murder? I know this is hard, Ms. Gatto, and I'll try to get through it as quickly as I can, but we need your identification of the victim on record.
It was my son.
Rocky Marcel Gatto? Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you walk me through the events of that night?
Yeah. Me, Rocky, and my husband Dante was just transferred to your safe house. It had been a week and a half since we moved in, and we were getting tired of playing Uno all the time. The day before it happened, I noticed Rocky acting nervous. He had been nervous since we moved in, but that day it got worse. You know, on the day it happened.
That was the second day of Peridot, correct?
Yeah. On that day, Dante called a family meeting. He also noticed something wrong with Rocky, but he only thought it was nerves from the situation. Pretty natural, considering it all.
During this family meeting, where were the OBI agents who were assigned to you?
They were outside, got in the door as usual. They thought the threat was outside the house, not inside. Anyways, we all talked together for a while. I say we all, but Rocky didn't say a word. Dante began getting frustrated and asked him if he'd like to add anything. You know how fathers are. But Rocky just sat there in silence, looking at the floor. You could barely see it under his fur, but his skin was pale. I just knew something was wrong. I reached to grab his paw, but he pulled it away. He finally spoke up. He said that he needed to confess something to us. He said that it had to do with Bruno.
That is Bruno Bacchus, correct?
Yeah. He told us about how he knew about Bruno's dealings with the Lion family, which we weren't surprised about because we were in witness protection because of it, for Ozma's sake. But then he started talking about a phone call he got from the Lion clan.
What was this phone call about?
Rocky said that the Lion on the other end offered him to basically do what Bruno did, help smuggle poppy seeds across the border. He told Rocky that Bruno was getting cut out because he was getting too greedy. They felt Rocky could be trusted, so they offered him a deal.
What was the deal?
Just the usual. Deliver a certain quota to a specific location.
After we're done here, my colleagues over in Drug Ops will want to know those locations, if you have them.
Yeah, but that wasn't the whole deal. They also said that in order to show loyalty, Rocky needed to get rid of Bruno.
But we know it wasn't Rocky who killed Bruno.
I know, but the Lions didn't know that. They thought he did it so well that it was pinned on someone else. Rocky took credit and business was made. He told us that he agreed to the Lions' terms. He confessed to us that he was working with them all this time. He was the reason we were in witness protection. He was the reason my brother is after our heads.
How did you react?
I was pissed, but I remained calm. I got into some crazy stuff when I was a young one, too, but this was on a next level.
And your husband?
I don't know, he just snapped. I heard a low growl and he just pounced like he was hunting in the fields. Rocky tried to put up a fight, but Dante got the jump on him.
And this is about the time that the guards heard the scuffle and entered, correct?
Yeah, They came in and held up their weapons telling Dante to stop, but I knew he wouldn't. I've seen him like this once before, and I knew that not even bullets could stop him.
So what happened next?
Well, it happened. Dante bit down on Rocky's throat, but it wasn't over. One of the guards fired a shot, and it hit Dante's shoulder. Dante then pounced on the guard while the other one fired a shot, but I don't think that one hit. The first guard was dead before the second one could fire a shot. Dante then pounced onto the second guard as he fired one right into Dante, but the claw already landed across his throat. I watched Dante bleed out before I called.
And on the record, these guards were Agents Brooks and Castle, who died in the line of duty. So is that all that happened?
Yeah, why? Does it not line up with the evidence?
No. Your story checks out. The evidence is there. The bullets fired were from the agent's weapons, and the bite marks match her husband's dental records.
So, why do you seem upset, Agent Morgan?
You know that gut feeling you get when something doesn't feel right?
Like it's not gelling?
Yeah. But everything seems to point to your story. It should move fairly quickly, as soon as the judge hears this. Until then, I think we got all we need.
After Carmela was released, she went home. Not to the safe house, but the poppy fields. After the events of the second day of Peridot, the OBI drug operations team made their move against the drug smuggling operation. Since Rocky and his small team of Bobcats acted alone, they took the full weight of the punishment, and the OBI couldn't touch King Dimitri or the rest of the Bobcats. I'm guessing that the king extended his mercy to Carmela because of it all turning out to be a good thing for him. The OBI is off his back, and a small band of out-of-line Bobcats and their leader are gone. Since Carmela was released, I tried to get an interview with her, but she doesn't want to talk with me. I understand. She most likely blames me for all that happened. And for that, I am sorry. I'm also sorry for what I'm about to say, but I can't help it. I'm a storyteller, and I want to look at a story at all angles to find the truth. I'm like Agent Morgan when it comes to this. It seems perfect, but something just isn't gelling. Why would King Dimitri simply accept her back with open arms after her betrayal? Now, this may be because I've seen so many mafia movies, but still, I want to propose a new possibility. Note that I said possibility. It has no evidence or anything leaning towards it being true, but it's just an interesting thing to think about. So, what if somehow the events didn't happen the way Carmela said it did? What if it was only made to look that way? Maybe everything happened according to a certain plan. Maybe there was no betrayal of Carmela. I mean, I don't want to dive too far into this possibility, but just want to raise the question of what if? What if it was all to bring the leader of the drug operation to light and to take them out? We can ask this question of what if forever. What if Jack the Ripper was more than one person? What if the Zodiac was right under the investigators' noses? What if? The only thing keeping investigators from diving down this rabbit hole is evidence. And in this point, the evidence is direct, clear, and to the point. Ballistics showed the bullets fired from the agent's guns. Dental records showed the bite marks to be Dante's. All the evidence was where Carmela said it was. Case open, case closed. I sit in my hotel room, trying to wrap my head around it all. Nothing is ever this perfect. At least, I don't think so. But there's nothing I can do. There's nothing to investigate. Like I said, case closed. But is the story closed? A few days after I gave up on my attempts to get an interview with Carmela, I received a letter at my hotel. All it said was, "Thanks for the help." It was signed Red Tooth. And I noticed there was a small smudge on the corner. Now, I'm not sure, but I could only think it to be one thing. Blood. Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of Fiction Crime Time. This episode was written and narrated by me, Adam Farmer. It featured the voice talents of Michelle Lee and Mitchell Witcher. Go follow them on social media. Their links are in the description, so go send them some love. Also, be sure to follow Fiction Crime Time on social media so you can see any additional case materials and other announcements. Look for us at Fiction Crime Time on Instagram and Facebook, and at untrue_crime on Twitter. Tweet at us with your theories and thoughts about the case. A new episode will be released every other week, so be on the lookout for episode 8 on April 27th. And, as always, remember that everyone has a story to tell. So, don't be shy. Go out and tell yours. Thanks again for listening.